Praveen Halappanavari. You're talking to me from India now, yes?
Yes.
Can you tell me what happened on the 21st of October with your wife, Savita, who was 17 weeks pregnant?
Basically, she was 17 weeks pregnant, and I'm not. She was very excited, and you know, everything was fine, everything going well. She was very happy. Saturday, you know, we had a small get together where she told all her friends, you know, basically she broke the news that she is pregnant, and early morning on Sunday, you know, she had a severe back pain. Basically, she complained about a back pain, and then so we rang, you know, the St. Monica's ward in the University Hospital Galway, you know, at around 9 o'clock in the morning, and they told us to come down. And we live in the city, basically, we live in the town, so it's just a 10-minute drive from our place to the hospital. And we were there at 9:30, and the midwife nurse checked, basically, she looked into the BP, blood pressure, and the heart rate of the baby, and she also took a sample of basically the urine sample, and she checked and said that there is no infection or anything, and you know, there's nothing to worry about. And she also got a junior doctor on duty, and she had a look at her as well. You know, basically she just said that, you know, maybe you are nervous, or, you know, basically she said that, you know, there's nothing wrong, nothing to worry about her. And then we were sent back, you know, at around 10, and, you know, 10-ish, and we came home, and Savita had a little bit of breakfast, you know, and then she went to loo, basically, to the washroom, and she felt something is wrong, you know, basically she felt something hard coming out, and she came out in tears. And I was sitting in the living room, and then she said that something is wrong, and immediately we rushed to the hospital again. And the same midwife nurse, checked and said that everything is okay and there's nothing to worry about. And this time she did some internal checks as well, and she said that, you know, everything seems to be perfect and there's nothing to worry. She didn't see anything coming out or anything, you know, she said. And the junior doctor on duty also had a look, and then I was just standing outside, you know, outside the room that they were doing the checks, and she got another doctor. I saw another on duty doctor going inside. Maybe they were looking for a second opinion or something. And this time, you know, I think they did some scan and did some checks internally as well. And then I was called inside the room, and when I went in, Savita was in tears, and she was literally, you know, very, very upset, and she was in a shock as well. And the doctor there asked me, you know, to just hold Savita, for a minute, and then he told me that it looks like the baby is not going to survive, he said. I asked, are you sure? And he said, yes.
They admitted her then as a patient?
Yeah, just before that, when she was still in the room, you know, the room where they do the checks, and the man told me that, it'll all be over in a few hours, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and we can go home. And then she was admitted into the hospital, basically, you know, into the ward, where, you know, they put her on drips, and she started giving her antibiotics and all that. And she was still, you know, very upset about the whole thing. She can't take it, and she said she already started talking about the next pregnancy. She said that I want to get pregnant before the 30th of March, you know, and to make sure that she's ready to face that date. And she said she was so happy about, you know. She never thought that she would have such a feeling, you know, when she was pregnant. And she talked all about that, you know, and I just basically consoled her as much as I can, you know, like that. And she was fine until Tuesday. And Tuesday morning, I just dropped her parents back to the airport. They were here with us, you know, for for a few weeks, and they were happy as well. And she didn't want to, tell her parents that, about the baby.
Yeah.
She said that it's just a normal checkup. They've kept her under observation, and basically her father is very, he's just very sensitive to any such bad things. Like, he's a heart patient himself. He had a bypass surgery, 8 years ago. So he's very delicate in terms of, any such news. So she was very concerned about her father rather than herself. So she was very bold enough, Monday night when I brought them to the hospital when she was in the ward. She pretended as if everything is fine.
When did she ask for the possibility of a termination?
Basically, Sunday morning, since Sunday, on Monday morning they did a heartbeat check as well. The fetus was still alive. So she said that, they can't abort, and every time they took her into the scanning room, to check if the baby is alive.
Yeah.
And, she was literally, she was in a very bad condition. Basically.
So between Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, she was asking for termination.
Yeah, she was not terminated because the fetus was still alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what was her feelings about that?
Yeah, she kept on, she said she can't take it. Every time the gynec came in, morning round at around 10:30, the gynec comes for, the visit. And then she said she can't take it, to induce her as soon as possible, because she wanted to go home and she wanted to get over it.
Yeah.
And she said she can't take, that whole thing of heartbeat and the scan. Every time they checked it, she was in tears.
Yeah.
And then
she began to feel quite ill on Tuesday and developed shivering and vomiting.
Yeah, Tuesday night, she had shivering and that, all that. Basically, gave her some paracetamol. And the doctor on duty came in and he did some ECG checks and all. I was in there as well. And then he took some swabs, samples of urine and the blood. And I asked him in the morning, did he get the reports? He said it could take a couple of days, before he could get the results. Basically, we didn't know at that time what was happening. And morning again, the gynec came in. And I just missed a point there. On Monday, and the gynec came in the morning, Savita asked her that she can't take it, and can she not abort her or anything? And she said that she will check and come back. And on Tuesday morning, she came back and said that I'm sorry, can't help you because it's a Catholic country, and so can't help it. It's a Catholic thing. And Savita said that that she's not Catholic, she's a Hindu. So why, impose the law on her? And because she said she can't take it. She was literally, she was very, she was in a shock.
Yeah.
Basically, she was in terrible mental and I think physical pain as well. She was a very young girl, first baby. And
so the fetal heartbeat stopped on Wednesday then?
Yeah, on Wednesday at around at 2 p.m. in the noon, the heartbeat stopped, and they immediately, started, all the preparation for the operation theater, basically, she was given anesthesia, and they took her into the operation theater, and then the gynec came outside and gave me an update that everything was okay, and it was a normal delivery, and the placenta and all that came along with the baby, so there was nothing left over as such. And she said that Savita should be okay in a few hours. And they just wanted to, keep her in the HDU for a few hours.
That's the high dependency unit.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So then she asked me if I wanted to see the baby, just before Savita was taken into the operation theater, I told, the gynec and the the doctor, you know, in the operation table, that not to tell anything to Savita about the baby, you know, nothing, literally, you know, that whether it's a, you know, girl or a boy, or, you know, whether, you know, nothing, just don't mention anything to her, you know, just to you know, they said fine, but when I went in, you know, inside, the gynec told me if I want to see Savita, I said, yes, I want. And then I was, I count up and went inside the theater, and Savita was in tears. And I just came to know that one of the nurses had asked Savita if she wanted to see the baby.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she was again in terrible, you know, shock and tears. And when I was trying to console Savita, you know, I was trying to, you know, I just kept on saying it's okay, and, you know, and I was talking to her. There was another nurse who came in and said that it was a girl.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I mean, Savita, Savita wanted to, you know, a baby girl, basically, and she was again in tears, and you know, she was in shock.
Yeah.
And
they took her to the high dependency unit, and she was okay.
She was okay. I went to the, I followed her to the high dependency unit, and she asked me if her parents have reached home safely. I said yes, they have landed. You know, I just got from a text from her that they have landed safely, and then I went home to fresh up. At around 10 o'clock in the night, and at around 11:30, 12-ish, I think, I got a call from the nurse team running, you know, had to rush to the hospital. She was in the ICU, you know,
yeah,
with all the monitors on. She was in the ventilator, and all the antibiotics, you know.
And so, sedated.
Yeah. She was sedated, and she couldn't talk. To, I asked the nurse if I can talk to her. She said, yes, you can, but she, I don't know if she can listen to you, but you can try. She said, and I kept on talking to Savita, saying that, you know, it'll all be okay, you know. And
and so that was Wednesday evening. That was Wednesday evening, and then she began to deteriorate badly on Friday.
And so nothing really changed. They just kept on telling me that she's critically ill, and, you know, everything will be okay, and that she's young and she will get over it. And on Friday morning, you know, one of the guys called me if I can meet there and the doctor, and I came, and, you know, I was just waiting in the St. Monica's ward. I came in, you know, in the ICU, and he told me that, that it's E. coli, you know, the infection.
Yeah.
And which is basically, you know, resistant to antibiotic, and you know, they said it's just a normal routine check that they want to do. Things never improved since then. On Friday, they tried to put her on dialysis, and you know, still there was no improvement at all. And on Saturday, all of a sudden, you know, none of her organs were working. Basically, I was told it's a multiple organ, you know, failure. On the 28th of October, around 1 a.m., you know, she just passed away there beside her.
Yes, yeah. I'm terribly sorry. And the autopsy then was on Tuesday, and you were able to bring her back then to India on, and her funeral was on the 3rd of November. There are two investigations now apparently underway into Savita's death, and you're coming back in a week or so. What kind of answers will you be looking for from these investigations?
Yeah, basically, like she has, you know, a lot of doctors in the family, you know, like many people, you know, within the family, her uncle, her aunt, many people who are into the medicine field, and they're all asking, you know, how can this happen in a 21st century, like when the medical field is so advanced? And, you know, why didn't they abort her? So I had to explain the whole thing about, you know, the law there, you know, when the fetus is live, and they all just, some people even laughed at me and said, you know, that's crazy, they said, you know. And I just had to tell them that's the way it is, you know. Yeah. Unfortunately, we were in the country, you know, at that time, and you know, we thought just why, you know, all our friends had a great story to tell about, you know, the babies they had in Ireland, you know, and so we decided we'll go there. So
you'd heard Ireland was a good place to have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, most of our friends, you know, in Galway had a baby there, and you know, they're all fine, and that's the reason. And so we decided to, you know, have a baby in Ireland.
Are there particular answers or particular things you would like looked at in these investigations?
Yeah, basically they asked what was the postmortem report, and like I said, it was still, you know, under investigation. The postmortem report was very top level. It just said that, you know, it's due to the septic shock, septicemia. They were all surprised that, you know, how come there is, you know, not a detailed report from the pathology or, you know, from the postmortem. And I said the coroner has requested an inquest, and, you know, so it's still under investigation. That's what the paper said.
And do you feel that if the intervention had been made earlier to expedite the delivery and to terminate the pregnancy, that things could have been different?
Yes, of course, because she was perfectly all right on the day, you know, she went in until Wednesday. I think Tuesday night it could, you know, it's just my take that, you know, things could have got worse, you know, when she picked that fever. You know, when she started shivering, I think the infection had already, you know, taken her whole body or entire body. So it was too late. It's just a common sense, like, you know, people just still keep asking me, how could they leave the womb open for 2 days? Yeah. You know, it's a common sense. You know, people here back home are asking me, well, there is a high risk of infection there. Yeah. How could they say that? The mother's life is a bigger life, you know.
Yeah.
They knew that they can't help the baby. Why did they not, you know, look at a bigger life?
Yeah. How are Sabita's parents?
Her parents are still in a shock.
Yeah.
Her dad, you know, she's still in a very bad shape. You know, they have been giving him, all different type of, you know, medication to just make sure that he gets some sleep, you know, that forcing him to get some medication. And they still, I mean, including me, no one can't believe that she's not with us, you know. She's such a lovely person, you know, full of life. And it's been a very hard time for them. Like.
Okay, thank you very much, Praveen. And I hopefully I'll get to meet you when you come back.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.